96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, February 6th, and this is after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have, let me put it, an interesting perspective, an interesting discussion. Usually I have Uncle Sarah, you remember, Dr. Cleveland Enius III, who comes on Tuesday and try to peddle a different religion altogether. And I said, man, Uncle, I know. But today, Uncle brought a guest for me. I know he had a big event on the weekend. And he said, oh, Cecil, I have a guest. And can he pass by? I said, okay, bring your guest. And this guest I've met before. I glimpsed him some time ago in passing. I said, but I know him. He looks like me. We could look like we come from the same tribe or something. But I will let Uncle introduce his guest, so I get the formal name, right?
Sure.
Because I find that they changed their name on me, right? So I want Uncle to do that. Because one thing I also want to humble myself, because the title of Uncle's guest, I know Uncle became a pastor, then became a, what the position called?
Cajun.
A Cajun. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman is beyond that. He's like a pope of some sort. And I know I grew up Catholic. I grew up Anglican. Grew up Baptist. I know what a pope is. So if the pope is in my presence, I would have to humble myself. I mean, humble myself to the piety that, to extreme, that, to understand that God is in our presence. And that's saying blasphemous, but when you are Catholic, you understand what I mean.
Mm.
That there is an essence of reverence needed. So I'll humble myself now.
Mm-hmm.
To this gentleman because of his position.
Yes.
And I want Uncle to formally introduce him to the Bahamian listening audience as to who he is.
Well, today, namaste and good morning, Bahamas. Today we have with us Rick Varma, also known as Basesh Harohotep Tar. He's the Coptic Pope of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, and we are very happy to have him here today.
You used the term Baresh?
Basesh.
Right, which is the word bishop. Right, the Latinized word bishop is from the word bashupi. It's an ancient Hebraic word. It's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Right, they Latinize it and say bishop, bashupi, or the shepherd. That's where they get the word shepherd from. You follow? That's all it means, right? So a basesh is a person who's shepherding, but he has to write. He has to be able to write books, or she, right, because mm-hmm. it can be a woman, to write books that can explain whatever subjects are necessary towards a people having guidance, liberation, inspiration, things of that nature.
So I will address you as Bashlet.
You can just call me Rev.
I'm okay, I appreciate that.
Because when I go through the airport, they treat me like Rev.
So I appreciate that. And Rev, I do not have much time today to do a formal interview with you, but I want to understand this religion,
mm-hmm.
this concept of identity of the Black Messiah.
Right.
Right. First of all, you speak with an accent.
Yeah, New York.
No. I know New York accent. I can speak with a New York accent, but you speak with an accent. I want to know where you're from.
Audience. I was born in Liberia, West Africa, raised in New York City from age 3. So you'll hear more New York.
Okay. So you have a connection to the continent?
Yes, I do.
I want to know where this religion starts, because I understand where Catholicism start. I know where Anglicanism start. I know where the Methodists, and so on. Right. But this is a new concept, and I want to know how...
I went to St. Raymond's Elementary School in Bronx, New York, right? So I was raised in a Catholic church as well.
He's a good Catholic.
Yeah, definitely, right? And being raised in the Catholic church, by a mother who said, look, you're not there necessarily for the religion. You're there because of the basic foundation, the rudiments of reading, writing, arithmetic, science. They have a great foundation. Don't worry about the religion. Amadou, we're Africans. We're the original Hebrews. My mother taught me this. The only book she used to have in the house was the Psalms. And she would say, our book, the Psalms, was given to us by Akhenaten. She used to always say it that way, Akhenaten. We Bassa people are the original Hebrews. She would say, Amadou, when you see the so-called Arabs, this is from a little boy, you're not looking at the original Muslims. The original Muslims are from the Malinke Empire, your father's people. This is what I was taught. Right, but I would go to school and she would say, whatever the answer they want you to give, you give that answer. But she would always tell me, you see the Pope? Yes, look at the picture of who he worships. They call her the Black Madonna. Why is the Pope, every sitting Pope, has always worshipped or had an image that they pray to of the Black Madonna? But yet when you say Black Messiah, if the Madonna was black, it would be presumed that the son she'd bring forward would also be
black.
So when we're saying Black Messiah, it's not a new religion. We're saying what the Pope is saying without saying it. You understand what I'm saying? Because if the Pope is worshiping an image, and this is any Catholic, right? When you're in Catholic school, we used to have a book. In fact, my children went to Jesuit, and they had a book called Catholic Essentials. And in Catholic Essentials, any Christian can go online. They would say there were three Jesuses: Jesus of the people, Christ the pontificer, and the Jesus of the people is always black with locks. You pull it up on your phone, it's there. Mm-hmm. The Catholic Church teaches this in school. My children went to Tampa Catholic in Tampa, in Florida, and Jesuit High School in Tampa, Florida. And I would always take their religious textbooks. Let me see that. Let me see what they're teaching you and see what has changed and what hasn't. And they literally had a book called Catholic Essentials in there talking about three Jesuses, one Christ the Redeemer, Christ the Pontificer, and Christ, or then they say one Jesus of the people. And Jesus of the people happens to be black with dreads. This is not ancient Catholicism. This is 2020. They graduated 2017. So this is in the last decade. There it is. Mm. That's not me. That's not kind of black. So what is the Catholic Church talking about?
You are now Pope of this particular religious sect. How did you become Pope?
Through studies. I had to learn Hebrew. Speak it, read it, write it. Had to learn Greek. Speak it, read it, write it. Had to learn Arabic. Speak it, read it, write it. Had to memorize text in those languages. Had to read the writings of all the great teachers and study. Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Ashwa Kwesi, Phil Valentine, Marimba Nelson, Elijah Muhammad. It took me 38 years of study. 38 years of intense study to know so that when I speak, I'm not speaking what I think, what I believe, what I feel, what I like, what I don't like, but what does it say in the text? If I'm talking to a Christian from the New Testament, I'm looking at the Greek with an understanding of what I'm looking at. So when they say, well, it says this, and no, it's not what it says. Why could you say that? Because it's right here and I can show you. And we go online to the Hebrew Greek lexicon, Blue Letter Bible, King James, whatever version you need. Click, click. What's the word say? So am I right? Yes. Okay. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me, but am I right in what I'm saying? You follow? We believe that if you're going to teach, it's not enough for you to say, I'm a pastor, a reverend, minister, and God spoke to me last night. That's very convenient. God speaking to you is a very convenient way of, you know, and then I can move. Well, God works in mysterious. Anytime you stick me with a question, I can't answer. Well, God works in mysterious ways. Well, that's a great cop-out. What other profession could I do that in? I'm an engineer, but when the building falls, well, you know, engineering works in mysterious ways. It's the only profession that you can profess to know something, and when your question can default to someone who's not present.
The Catholic Bible has 73 books.
Yes.
73 different books.
Right.
The Anglophone Bible.
Anglican, 66 books.
Has only 66
books. Lutheran Reformation, right? Martin Luther, 16th Edict.
Where you got your books?
Well, from the same scholars, right? Because the Catholic Bible, in the Catholic book, they talk about the Book of Maccabees.
Yes.
Yes? They talk about, in the King James, those books were removed because the Lutheran Reformation, 16th Edict of Milan, put on the church doors. He got killed for it. But that's, meanwhile, the same Catholic Bible, in it, they make reference to the Egyptians, to the Nubians, to the Carthaginians, to the land of Punt. But when we go there, there's a book called, the Zondervan Bible out of Tennessee. As another one's Nelson Publication out of Memphis. And they say in their books, and this is the book that Osteen, T.D. Jakes, certain people are reading, they have a concordance in there. And they have a whole write-up that says these are ancient Near Eastern texts that speak the Bible before the Bible. The Catholic Church calls it, they call it in the Catholic archives, they speak of these missing books, and they mention them as the Litany of Ray. They mention them as the Amduit tablets. They mention it as the Enuma Elish, which a lot of your listeners may be saying, what is that? But the British Museum also says the same thing, the Shubaka Stone, that there were African records. We're grabbing European opinions about African doctrine. What do I mean? Thessaly, Greece. Corinthian, Greece. Ephesus, Greece. Galatia, Greece. These are Greek writings. Well, what did we have? We were in North America, South America, Indus River Valley, the great melanated people of the Arabian Peninsula. Did we have a text? Of course we did. Back in Malian papyrus. Well, in fact, they didn't find it. They said that these Malian people, the Malinke, had been holding these records for thousands of years and finally brought it forth, and Europeans were thrown. And they said, well, we need to take it to Yale and to California, to Berkeley, to determine its authenticity. But at the time, South Africa had a president named Thabo Mbeki. He was the one who would come after Nelson Mandela. And he said, no. Y'all always do that. We Africans are going to take our Malian papyrus that you're now saying is the oldest records on earth of religion, cosmology, astronomy, and medicine, and we're going to determine what it says. Again, look it up online. This is not me saying it. This is BBC News. And they started reading and said, this is speaking things that predate biblical interpretation that comes out of the Roman Catholic or conclave of Rome and Greece.
Reverend, your religion don't sound Christian. Your religion
it's
don't
not.
Sound Christian.
Let me tell you what religion is. Christian, Muslim, Hebrew, all of them have something in common. They all speak about a group of people, but none of them give you in-depth teaching. Christianity will say that Jesus was a Nazarite. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In the Old Testament, they'll say Samson was a Nazarite. Some will say John the Baptizer was a Nazarite. They'll say the wise men were Nazarites. The Muslims will say Muhammad spoke about these people called the Nasrin or Nasrullahi. Everyone speaks about the Nazarites, but nobody tells you what did they believe. Christ wasn't Christian. They weren't called Christians until Antioch. That's way after. He was of Nazareth. What does Nazareth mean? Nazir, a watcher, one who seeks to see and observe. And the word reth means rosh, Hebrew, ra'is, Arabic, it means head. We say as Christians, Christ is our head and we are the body. Christ is the Nazarite. What did the Nazarites believe? The Nazarites were not under certain covenants. They had their own covenant. They had their own teaching because it conflicted with the status quo. The wise men who came to find that Christ child, according to Matthew chapter 2, what was their belief? They were wise. Were they Christian? No. Were they Hebrew? No. Were they Muslim? No. But we all recognize that they were wise. What made them so wise? They had African theology. They were Nazarites. Before there was a Christian, there was a Nazarite. Before there was a Hebrew, Moses wasn't Hebrew. He was of the tribe of Levi. And they were called from an event with Abraham crossing a river, Hebrew. But what was Moses' religion? Judaism. There was no J. The tribe is called Judah. That's not a religion. Religiously, Moses was a...
Let me interject here.
Sure.
You seem to be using the King James, the Bible.
I'm using any Bible you read.
But that's our Bible.
No.
Why don't you use your own Bible?
We do.
And leave
we have,
us our Christian Bible alone.
Very simple. We have the original books of the Bible. The original books of the Bible are these ancient records. But if I speak to an average Christian, Muslim, or Hebrew, they're going to say, I don't know that. It's not in my book. So I say, cool. Let me put mine down and pick yours up. But what we find oftentimes when you talk to people, they don't know their Bible. The problem is not me. The problem is Bible teaches a study to show thyself approved. And I hate to say this because it might hurt some feelings, right? You know, but I think we're all adults on the radio this morning. I hate to say it, but most people have never studied their Bible. They've read it as much as we read a comic book, as much as we read a love story, as much as we read magazines. But how many people have actually taken the time? You say you worship Christ. Christ was a Jew. And if I start asking you about Judaic customs, you don't know. So how could you know the man and not know the customs that the man studied? Because those customs would determine what he meant.
Let me ask you. I had another religious group here yesterday, in fact.
Sure.
I find, now I gotta bait you, forgive me, dear Reverend.
That's okay, let's do it.
Americans, because you grew up in the United States, African Americans have this quest to find themselves, right?
Everybody got this quest to find themselves.
And in their quest to find themselves, they now creating all kind of religions. And now they're now trying to colonize us Caribbean people.
That's right.
You come here and claim Uncle Sarah.
That's right.
One of the brightest minds inside the Bahamas.
You took him.
And colonize his mind to and tell him that this is the right concept.
No, actually, we did the opposite. We said we freed his mind to say, investigate and read everything. Believe nothing. Don't believe anything I've said. Everything I've just said, I said, go online. Any person mad, instead of being mad, take out your smartphone, be smart with the smartphone, go to Google, type in what I'm saying, and see what comes up. Type in Augustine of Hippo, Jesus, type in Augustine of Hippo, Africa's Christianity.
Yes.
One of the church fathers of the Catholic Church, Augustine of Hippo.
In fact, we studied that in Acton Catholic School.
I know, I was there. Yeah. That's how I know it. Yeah. And in there, Augustine of Hippo said, one of the three, him, Tertullian, and Jermaine, or Pope Jeremy or Jerome, they said what? There was an Africa's Christianity before Europe's Christ.
Yes.
I didn't say that. Now the question has to be, well, damn, maybe that's why God said, take my son and go to Africa. Oh, sorry, you have it as Egypt.
It's Egypt.
Maybe God said, take my son to Africa, because Augustine, Tertullian, and St. Jerome all agreed there was an Africa's Christianity before. What was that called? Christian. There was a Christ in Africa? Yes, but you're saying Christine, the word Christ, Christ, that they're using Christos or Christus, that they're coming out of the Latin. That was a term of disrespect by purposely misenunciating what we had. The doctrine was different. The Virgin Mary sitting with a child in her lap, that's not some Roman symbol. That's Aset. That's Haru. That's Tammuz. That's Dumuzi. That's Ishtar. That's Africa, Cushite Babylonian. That's African theology. If not, then why would God say, take my children to the pagans? Why would God send his only begotten son to the land of the pagans?
Mm. We have a caller here, Reverend.
Sure,
I'm going to let the caller engage you because I want to know where you're based. When I say based, are you based in the United States? Because I see
I'm based in Liberia, West Africa, to be honest.
I didn't. Let me explore that. Let me go to this caller first. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
The pastor you have on, he talking a lot of sense. I've been searching for the truth for a long time and had some concepts that he putting all them together right now. He's trying to find out where he getting most of his information from.
I'm getting the information in the Bible. The problem is we're looking at everyone else's translation. If you go online, and this is to the caller and anyone else listening willing to do this, go to Blue Letter Bible. .org. When you click it, you can go to any biblical verse, click the word, it'll tell you the root of the word, it'll tell you what it comes from, its subroot, and as you scroll down, you'll go, wait a minute. So if they know this is what it's saying, why are they mistranslating it? When we read the Vulgate, done by the Catholic, or we read the Septuagint. Most Christians don't know, most Hebrews don't know that the Old Testament that we're reading, the Septuagint, or Septuagint as it's called, is the Greek translation that the Greeks took the Hebrew, supposedly, Ptolemy dynasty, translated it from Greek, from Hebrew into Greek, then took the Greek and translated it back into English and gave it to us, called the Septuagint. The Latins say the same thing. They say they took revelations from the Hebrew, which they didn't speak, and translated it. But what we're leaving out is that when they were doing it, they were infusing Roman dogma into the book. If Jesus... go ahead, I'm sorry.
I've been saying for a long time that to my... because I know a lot of Anglicans and things around here. I grew up at Anglican, went to Anglican school, everything, and I've been telling them that they know where all these churches derive from or how they came to exist. Because the Anglican church came to exist because the man just wanted to get to the divorce.
Right.
And he wanted to be Henry,
He wanted to divorce his own church. That's right, because he divorced Queen of Scots and married Anne Boleyn, and there was a whole problem. But again, most people don't want to know the history, but the Bible's a book full of history. The Bible mentions Egyptians, it mentions Libyans, it mentions Cushites, it mentions Babylonians, but none of us think that these countries or lands or kingdoms that are mentioned, that is worth going and investigating what's happened there. So for me, we're not, you know, the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, we're not attacking Anglican, Catholic, Luther. I talk to anybody with anything, I'll laugh with you, or smile with you. But if you're telling me
Thank you very much, Carla. I appreciate it. Where
our souls are on the line. Because I'm a black person. I got to give my children a doctrine. Right now, I've been in Bahamas about a week, right? And I'm on the radio, listening on the radio, driving in the vehicle, and the children are killing each other. They're shooting each other. We got to do something. The murder. There was another, yesterday there was police on some avenue, Cajon Uncle was telling us. And I say, you're saying that, but we had this happen in America. What happened there? If you don't give people a doctrine of empowerment that makes them see their life as worthy of something other than killing, beating up, jumping, spitting on, desecrating, degrading, as far as, you know, the rap video. If we don't give our children something else and we keep acting shocked, like we don't understand what's happening. You tell me that we are black people. We got discovered in Africa. We got discovered in South America. We were pagans. We didn't have no culture. We didn't know nothing. And Europe came off some boats and they saved our souls. And you keep propagating it in that way and wonder why the children are killing each other without thought about life.
Reverend, I have 5 more minutes before I transition, right, to another conversation with a group from the Northern New Providence Security School District. I have them talking about anti-bullying, right? Mm-hmm. But I find that these African-American new religions, forgive me for that because I'm beating you.
That's right. I don't care. That don't bother me.
Always want to talk about black. That's why it. Black so? Why Christ got to be black? Why Christ got to be mulatto?
You know what?
Why can't it be a mulatto Christ?
But you know what's funny? That's the same thing I thought till I read the Bible in Revelations. He had skin of burnt brass. Why would God put burnt brass if he didn't want me to know that he was, you know, burnt brass? Brass starts off brown mocha, amaretto, cappuccino. Then you burn the brass. I normally wear my other chain that's just brass, and I'll take a lighter out and put it next to the brass, and you see it turn black. So Christ, according to God, Revelation, it's not me, Revelation chapter 1, 12 through 15, here's lamb's wool. Wool is woolly. It's not straight. He didn't have bones straight. You know, hippie here. He had woolly here. That's not me. That's God. So what, again, is that people are not reading the book. They believe it. How I know your book better than you? That don't make sense.
A black God, you say?
God said it, though. Skin of burnt brass. Anybody ever burnt chicken? Mm-hmm. When you burn chicken, it don't come out looking light.
What'd you say?
A black Jesus, according to the book of Revelation.
Black Jesus.
According to the book of Revelations. Huh. So I want to know Caesar Borgia. Mm. Who gave us that image? Of a white man being a savior to the black race. Mm. And the funniest thing, then I go throughout Europe, and they don't even go to church the way we go anymore.
I have one more call I want to squeeze in who wants to address you. Okay. Right? Then I want to know how to get in contact with you. Okay. No, I don't want to get in contact with Uncle Sarah. I can just drive down the corner. Right?
There you go.
But I want to know that this big broad church that you have all these Africans around the world who are now...
Waking up.
Like
to their own connection to the divine.
Let's go to this call. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Morning. How you doing? How you doing this morning?
Doing well. You have your 30 seconds?
I'm sorry. I mean, I just kind of tuned in. I just heard you say you had a couple more minutes with your guest, but I wanted to ask him a question. He was talking about people understanding a certain interpretation but still choose to teach things in a certain way, and he was saying something about empowering people, et cetera, right? My question is, did all of the modern religions, did they all originate from mythology, from ancient Kemet? Because my question is, because the mythology from ancient Kemet was based on the movement of the heavenly bodies, the sun, etc. And what they did was they gave those things human qualities. They made those things into a story. And the story that they use to describe the movements of the body in the heavens is what we know to be the Bible today. But my problem is that instead of individuals who know better teaching that reality, what they choose to do is they choose to make the Bible real.
Okay, let me say this to the caller. I think we end up in extremes, right? What we're saying, yes, ancient Kemetic, and I'm not going to call it mythology. The moment you say mythology, we've played into the hand of those who want to perpetuate the lie. The ancient African system of spirituality was as above, so below. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, as above, so below. So we saw that everything that took place in the stars, we wanted to replicate that, God's heavens, in our personal life. So it wasn't that these were just myths. No, the wisest person amongst us became the personification of the divinity, became the way, the truth, and the life. I'm saying it that way. the wisest woman amongst us became the divine presence of the feminine forces. Africans, melanated, indigenous Caribbeans, wanted to experience the divine. So we experienced the divine through the divine attributes. Those attributes were wind, earth, water, fire, happy, sad, hungry. The very attributes that in the Bible personifies and says, well, God was angry and destroyed man, and God smiled at the offering. And so these became attributes by which we could perceive the unseen divinity within ourselves. And Christ says, is it not written in your law, I say you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. So the divine presence is in you. Ancient people of the Nile River Valley, which were birthed out of the Niger Delta. Everybody runs to Nile River Valley, but no one wants to go to West Africa to the Niger Delta when we know the great Bantu migration came out of sub-Saharan Africa, out of West Africa, yes, and migrated over to the Nile River Valley.
Reverend, I have time to go by. Squeeze one more caller, but you got to make this short.
Okay, I want to talk to you.
Go ahead, caller. I only can squeeze 30 seconds.
Good morning, everybody. You say you're born in Liberia, right?
Yes.
Now, do people don't know that was the former U.S. slaves that started that? What do you worship there?
No, my people, slaves. I come from the Bassa people, from my mother who were there and gave the U.S. slaves a little island called Bushrod Island. My grandfather was the chief Mataldi.
Wait,
because you ran off. You can't do that. That's not, we ain't going to do that today. Right? And then meanwhile, my other people were the Malinke Empire, that was called the Kondo Confederation, where my grandfather, King Meleki Sayon, rode between what's present-day Cote d'Ivoire, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. So we had a doctrine that goes back to the Malinke Empire from my great-great-great-great-grandmother, Queen Mansariko, who was a Mansa from the line of Mansa Khan Khan Musa. So don't do that. Now you can ask your question if you like.
But I studied Liberia, and as far as I know,
Kondo Confederacy.
American slaves.
No, wait. That's the Liberia that was accepted by the Americans, the mulattoes of the American slaves. Study the Kondo, C-O-N-D-O Confederacy, okay, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Can I get in contact with you? How do I get in contact with you?
You can go to AJ Varma, V-A-R-M-A-H, on Facebook. You can go to journeyhomegroup.com. That's the website. Or you can go to AJ Varma, VARMAH.com.
And you have a Facebook page?
AJ Varma, okay, on Facebook, okay. AJVarma.com. And if you go to any of those web pages we just gave, AJVARMAH, you can click the links. It takes you to anything.
And give me your full name again.
Dr. AJ Varma.
And that is?
Oh, Bashesh. That's a seat. It's like saying prime minister. You know, okay. It's a seat. You don't stay there forever.
I understand. This is Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Up next, we'll have the Northern New Providence Security Schools District, the NNPSS, who's going to be talking about making noise about bullying. I know about being bullied, you know. Until I start bullying back. But anyway, we'll be right back with Guiding Radio AM.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fool with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Call 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Wednesday, March 8th, 2024, is International Women's Day. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly inspire inclusion. It's not just something we should say or something we should write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to inspire inclusion. Celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300 or contact your account executive. The International Women's Day 2024 campaign is to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women. International Women's Day, Wednesday, March 8th, 2024. Inspire inclusion.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I have an entire district of people here, right? This is, I was calling the name wrong all the time, by the way. This is the Northern New Providence Secondary School Anti-Bullying Rally 2024. I was calling it the Security School. I'm not sure why. But let me say it again. This is the Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational Training, Northern New Providence Secondary School. And they are having an anti-bullying rally. When?
February 9th, this coming Friday.
And now, I'm just, that's my guest, actually, who's right in front of me. I want you to introduce yourself formally so people who's listening can know who they're hearing. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Thank you so much for having us on your show today.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Shannon White. I'm the district superintendent for the Northern New Providence Secondary Schools District. And I have with me the principal of L.W. Young Junior High School, Principal Deborah Thompson. And I also have a committee member of the anti-bullying rally. He's also the senior master of T.A. Thompson Junior High School, as home of the Scorpions, Mr. Papal, Senior Master Papal. And I have a guidance counselor,
Mistress Kendra Seeley, head of guidance at the great L.W. Young Junior High School.
Yes, and we are so excited to be here today. We just want to make some noise against bullying. We want to make a loud noise against bullying.
Yes.
I see you looking at me.
I am looking at you because I want to know if bullying is a real problem in schools.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And to give you more information about bullying, before we go to the campaign, I'll allow our counselor to share with you.
All right, so usually when we students and parents, we teach about four different types of bullying. The first one, which is probably the most obvious, is the physical bullying. That's the pushing, the shoving, the kicking. So we're using our physicality to either threaten or mistreat other people. And then we have the verbal bullying, which is very common among us Bahamians, right? And so our intent is to kind of hurt people with the words that we say. You're so ugly, you're so black, you're so stupid, those types of things. And then we have social bullying, where we try to hurt people through damaging their relationships. Maybe we try to isolate them or try to get people to go against them. And then last but not least, we've all heard about the cyberbullying. So we're using technology, the smartphones, the tablets, the social media outlets to bring people down, to chastise them. So those are the major types of bullying that we are seeing now.
And I appreciate that. I'm not sure if you noticed, I'm blue-black. I mean, I'm lighter skinned than I was in high school.
Chocolate. Like
No, I'm a little dark. I'm a little dark, right? And bullying, right? I would like to know, you teach at L.W. Young, and I heard T.A. Thompson. I went to T.A. Thompson Primary School. That's an old distant years ago, right? Yes, yes. What are the schools doing to help us people who went through bullying? How do we survive? Because it wasn't good.
Well, first things first, education is key. And so we have to help the children to recognize it when we see it. And so from the year began, or even last term, we launched a campaign to help them recognize it when they see it. The problem is bullying is not a school issue. It is a national issue. So whether you're on a school campus, whether you're driving on the road, whether you're in the bank, whether you're in Super Value, there's always somebody there who's trying to assert their power over you. It becomes a means to an end. And so education is key, and we encourage children, do not allow somebody to make you afraid or to threaten you. You have to speak out. And if you see someone else who's being bullied, you have to speak out also. And then you can allow the adults and the other responsible persons to take action to come to your aid. And so those are some of the things that we're doing.
And that was the purpose of the campaign, Mr. Nouri. We got together at the end of the school year and we noticed, looking at our discipline data, that we saw a growing trend in the number of cases of students being bullied. And then we had parents coming into the district office saying that they did not feel safe. They did not feel that their children were safe, and they wanted to move their child from one school to the next. But of course, you know, bullying happens at all the schools and at all levels. So we decided as a district to try and be, not to try, but to be proactive. So coming into this school year, we launched a bullying campaign, and we have representatives from each of the 11, about 11 schools in the district, four junior, four senior, and three special schools.
And I want to hear about the schools. What schools in your district?
Oh, we have Doris Johnson, Mystic Marlins. Then we have L.W. Young Golden Eagles. We have C.I. Gibson, that's the home of the Rattlers. We have D.W. Davis, the home of the Royals. We have H.O. Nash, they are the Lions. We have T.A. Thompson, the Scorpions. We have C.R. Walker, the Knights. And we have C.C. Sweeting, they are the Cobras. And then we also have Aaron Gilmore School for the Blind, TAPS.
Okay.
Yes.
I saw it, it's like a Eastern District.
Yes.
Because I see a couple of schools around my neighborhood.
It's Northern District, but East and West.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So T.A. Thompson. T.A. Thompson Junior High School, what are you all doing in terms of joining this campaign and partnering as a unit? What is your school doing?
What we're doing is working with the students and the parents, just trying to teach them what is bullying, how to recognize it. And like the counselor from L.W. Young said, bullying comes in so many different ways. So they don't outright come and jump you, but they just walk past you. They intentionally bump you. And then when they bump you, they probably ask, well, what's the ride? Or do you know the ride? And that's their way of trying to pull you with them. Mm-hmm. And so we try to prevent that as much as we can.
I experience exclusion, my type of bullying. Because I have a big personality, right?
And you're dark chocolate.
Yes, right? and have different views on most things. Yeah. So people didn't include me. Mm. I was always, I found that to be bullying. Say, hey, are Jack, and no, Nuri, you're not a part of my part. I said, I got to do this project by myself, look like.
Yes.
How are we dealing with that in schools?
So in schools, we have to call on the teachers, really, the adults in the environment, not just the teachers, but the adults in the environment to recognize when a child is being bullied. Mm. There are certain signs that you can look out for. The withdrawn child, the child that changes behavior midstream. All of those things we are equipped to recognize so that we can offer assistance to that child. I would also like to say, and I'm going to piggyback on something my guidance counselor said as well, bullying is a social issue.
And I want you to explain that to me too. Because there's three times you all mentioned the social issue.
Yes. Remember, children do not come out of the womb bullying. It is actually a learned behavior. Okay? Children are bullied either in the home, in the community, wherever they are. And so they learn to be bullies. They see the action modeled. And when they see that action modeled, that is what they do. In a society where parents, I still know people, like you said, you were excluded. I still know people who go by their bully names. They learn to adapt to the name. You have people called bots because they had big ears, you know, heads because they had big head. And some from friends, you know, they came from family members. They came from in the home. And so there are a lot of students, a lot of children in this country and around the Caribbean who are bullied in the home by parents. We believe as Caribbean parents that children are to be seen and not heard. We actually, you know, express how when we were growing up, we couldn't do this, we couldn't say that, we couldn't. A lot of this stuff are forms of bullying. And when we don't stop it, like bullying should stop with you if you're bullied. But sometimes the bully or the person being bullied becomes the bully. Mm-hmm. And it keeps going on and on. So now that we're in the school and we're trying to, and I'm grateful that D.S. White has brought some sort of focus and intentionality to our efforts, because we've always been trying to combat this, you know. But now that we have a focus in the Northwestern District, we can actually be more intentional about our efforts.
So, District Superintendent White.
Yes.
You know, I had to look down at my notes, right? What should I say?
Because I'm not white. Yeah.
February 9th. Mm-hmm. February 9th, you're having a rally.
Yes.
What do you mean by rally?
Well, before I go there, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Nuri, yeah, that's ma'am. The culmination of the campaign. During October 2023, that was bullying, anti-bullying month. So every school had to create some activities to recognize that month. And we had some competitions in the district.
Wait. Just for the whole month of February? So this happening now?
October. Yes. So we had every school held an assembly where they brought more awareness to what bullying is, some strategies that students can utilize, teachers can utilize to prevent, to address, to help eradicate bullying. Comes on sessions for the bullied and for the person who is the bully. And we had a PSA competition that L.W. Young won.
Golden Eagles.
And we had a TikTok competition that L.W. Young
Golden Eagles.
And we had a t-shirt design competition that they did not win.
D.W. Davis won.
And that's what my colleagues are wearing today.
D.W. Davis came up with this design?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, student.
The student. Student. Yes. I like the shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very well.
Very good. Orange.
Yes. And that's the color.
That's the color
for anti-bullying.
The color for anti-bullying is orange. So I assume that you can make the whole Northern District orange soon.
On that day, February 9th, we'll be an orange community.
Then let's talk about the rally. Now, I want to understand what you mean by rally and where this rally can be. Is it a march? What you mean by rally?
Well, I'm going to allow the committee member, Senior Master Papal. They've been planning for months and months to address that question.
All right, the rally is going to be held at the Kendall Isaacs Gym starting at 9 until 2:30. At the rally, you'd have a lot of entertainers looking at. Right now, the kids are into this Get Them Reggie, so he's going to be there. And so, obviously, every time you look around at kids, they're doing the Reggie dance, so he'll be there. So, you also have our learning booths where they can go and learn more. But more importantly, I think when they come out of there, kids would more understand exactly what is bullying, how to recognize when they're being bullied, how to recognize bullies and report bullying. We also invite parents if they're free, and you yourself can drop by anytime, because from 9 until 2:30, you can drop in and maybe even share a word, but you'd learn something also.
Any food will be there?
There will be light refreshments.
I like light refreshments.
Yes, there will be light refreshments.
Especially when the refreshment's free. I like that.
We're going to have an opening ceremony. Right. We have the Minister of Education bringing remarks, a director, the Minister of National Security, and the Minister of Youth will be there to bring remarks. And like we said, it's to bring awareness to bullying and anti-bullying and what students should do, and that's to make a loud noise against bullying.
Were there any invitations sent out to schools?
Yes, schools in the Northern New Providence District. And we also have, I think right now we have about 20 confirmed booths, civic organizations, community partners that are going to be there, like JA, we have Kiwanis, we have the Cadets, we have Rangers, and many other booths, because we want the students to come away with, or to be a part, to join some organizations where they can learn character building.
It's very interactive then. So it's things for them to do when you come there.
Find out more about these types of organizations that will help them to build character. And I'm guidance counselor. Can share with us why it's so important to build character as it relates to preventing bullying and addressing bullying.
One of the things that we always tell children, because, you know, we're in the Ministry of Education, we're focused on academics, but we tell children all the time, you can be as smart as you want to be. If you got a bad attitude, nobody will want to work with you. Character is everything. It will take you to the moon and back. So it's so important, not just for your success, but we want to build children who can be productive members of society. We want people who can be resilient. And so character is at the core of everything.
Yeah. And the other C word we need to focus on with students is also confidence.
Yes.
It's very difficult to bully a confident child. And so as parents and those working in education, it's important for us to build students' confidence, self-esteem. Because like I said, it's very difficult when a child knows who they are. It's difficult to bully them.
And also another C word, courage. So once we build character and they have confidence, they'll automatically have the courage to address the issue.
And I like the word courage because I try to reinforce that word with my children in terms of bullying.
Yes.
Right? You need to become a gatekeeper. Yes. You are responsible now to report things.
Yes.
But how do you foster courage? Because my child, timid. She said, Daddy, there's bullying this girl in school, and I did not like it. And I retort, what did you do?
Yes.
And then, of course, we're going back to the school because we're going to be bullying people back together. But I mean, what do you say to a young girl, child, who wants to be a leader? She identifies what is bullying and what should not be tolerated, but does not have the confidence to address it.
I think courage comes when children feel safe.
Yes.
When they feel safe and supported, you have to help children to understand, report this, I have you, I have your back, nothing's going to happen to you. If you allow the fear to creep in, then it's going to ruin the courage that you're trying to build. So we have to make sure that our children feel safe in coming to us.
Yes.
You see? And so I think that, and listen to them. A lot of times young folks don't feel as if they're being listened to. And so we have to listen to them and support them.
Good. So the children who are coming out on February 9th at the Kendall GLS Isaac Auditorium, mm-hmm. right? What should they wear? Just regular clothes? Should they come in their school mascot uniform?
They're coming in their anti-bullying T-shirt.
Oh, tell me about the T-shirt. I can get one T-shirt. Because I like free things.
You can contact any of the schools, any of the 8 schools, mm-hmm. 11 schools in the district, and you can purchase a T-shirt. They are
$12.
$12.
So $12 for one of these shirts.
Yes.
And they can, the students, the parents, can purchase this before they come to the event?
Yes, they can.
But they're coming as groups from the schools.
Ah.
They're coming as groups from the schools, but parents can drop in.
I understand.
Yes.
And I didn't look at my calendar to see which date is February
9th.
That's
Friday.
So it's a Friday.
This coming Friday.
So this is a school day event, and it starts at 9 a.m.
9:30 is the opening ceremony.
And so we will be busing about 180 students.
Look at you all.
Yes. From each of the schools in the Northern New Providence Secondary School District.
Yes.
So there will be a large representation of students at the Kendall Isaacs Gym.
And all wearing orange.
All wearing orange.
This could be a big event.
Yes, we're going to make a loud noise. Yes. A loud noise.
I like pictures and I like social media. I assume somebody's going to be in charge of that to make sure I get to see.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Welcome to come.
Yeah. I'm thinking about coming. I am thinking about coming. It's 9:30,
the opening ceremony.
Just a whole school day.
Yes.
It's all school. That's where.
But we're busing them in and out.
Okay.
In and out.
Oh, so.
Three sessions.
I didn't know that. Out, yeah. So tell me about that. The three sessions. How that come about?
Three sessions. One at about 10:40 to 11:40, then one shortly after 12 or around 12, and then one at 1. Because we, you know, it's going to be difficult with the students traversing all of the booths if we have.
So we have like a thousand. Okay.
So we're going to have like 500 to 600 at a time. They're going to have a rally, a short rally, where they listen to motivational speakers, they listen to the entertainment, and then they're going to be allowed to walk through the booths and get information and interact with those organizations that are going to be represented.
Can you give me some detail on who all will be there, supporting?
In terms of?
You say entertainers and motivational speakers.
Oh, well, as far as I know,
the one who you know. I caught you off guard there.
Okay. No, anyone, committee member knows more, mm-hmm. but I know we're going to have...
Reggie.
I know how to do Reggie dance.
Definitely Reggie, and Reggie is a member of the Northern New Providence Secondary Schools District. Okay. We're going to have Miss Daisy.
Okay, Dynamite Daisy.
We're going to have Bishop...
Julie Belew. So he danced in it. Okay,
yes, good. We're going to have Bishop Lawrence Rowe.
Oh, good, nice.
Singing Bishop.
Who else?
And many more.
So this is going to be a big
fun.
So this is not going to be a boring event.
No.
The kids will come there and be entertained.
Yes.
From they arrive.
Entertained, motivated, inspired.
And encouraged.
Yes.
Let's talk about the boots. I know you started. Yes. Just tell me some general information.
We're going to have Ministry of Youth.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to have Ministry of Education. We're going to have EAP services there. Student Development is going to be there. Guidance Counselor is going to be there. This is Guidance Counselor Week, by the way.
It is? Okay.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So all of the schools, we call 11 districts or 11 schools. Yes. Sorry, 11 schools, right? Yes. In district.
Yes.
I assume all are doing their support, or majority of them will be out doing their support or something like that?
Sir.
Okay.
Yes,
good.
In and out. In and out.
I had to go to the guidance counselor often. You can tell.
They helped. I'm sure they helped.
Yeah, yeah, they had a good conversation with me. Yeah, they had a lot of conversations with me. Yeah.
But like I said, Rangers is going to be there. The police cadets are going to be there. You know, Kiwanis is going to be there.
Zonta Club.
Allied Health, I think they said. The Zonta Club is going to be there. YEP is going to be there. Rotary is supposed to be the crisis center is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Yes. Many.
A lot of resources.
Definitely. I've learned about an orange group, and they are a proponent of anti-bullying. They're going to be there. And then there's an author of an anti-bullying book.
Okay.
She is going to be there as well.
I hope she bring a book.
So we have a lot of community support because they understand the importance. They understand the importance in stamping out and making a noise, a loud noise against bullying.
What if there are other persons out there who want to partner with your Northern District and say, hey, I hear you all have an event and I want to render some kind of support.
Yes.
How do I get in contact?
Well, they can just contact the Northern New Providence District, myself, or Prince Morse, that's the District Education Officer. The number is 394-4378. But we've had persons since we started advertising, promoting the event, calling and wanting to be a part.
Okay. So we're going to do a wrap-up right now because we have like 1 more minute. Just remind me of the dates, when, where. Go ahead. Anybody?
So it is going to be February 9th, which is this coming Friday at the Kendall Isaacs Gym, and there will be a large crowd of students and supporters for the anti-bullying rally. But remember, folks out there, it does not end on Friday. Mm-hmm. And so you can contact any school at any time if you want to lend your assistance with anti-bullying.
And throw those schools' name again, who's going to be there?
The great L.W. Young Golden Eagles.
D.A. Thompson.
C.R. Walker.
D.W.
Davis, Taps,
Pace,
C.C. Sweetings,
going for the blind,
H.O. Nash.
Nice. We got to go now. Thank you very much, Superintendent.
Thank you so much for
I appreciate
us.
It. So this has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a blessed day.
All right.
Thank you.